Our God always keeps his word. And this is proven in the final three verses of Joshua chapter 21. We'll just read them. Just now, verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. God always keeps his word. All the tribes of Israel had received their inheritance in the land of Canaan. When this was done, the heads of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun, to remind them of a promise the Lord had made unto them. We read that in the opening verses of the chapter of Joshua 21. We read there in verse 2, they spake unto them at Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And so they remind Joshua and Eleazar of the promise that was made to the Levites, made to the Levites through Moses. We read in verse 3, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. The Levites were not given an inheritance like the other tribes, but a separate arrangement was made for them. If you go back to Joshua 18, and in Joshua 18, and verse 7, the first part of the verse, but the Levites have no part among you, that is, among the other tribes, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And beside that verse in my Bible, I wrote a little note, the privilege of serving the Lord. The Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. The fact that they serve the Lord, that's their inheritance. And because they served the Lord in the priesthood, and in turn they served the people, the Lord commanded that the people then were to give practical support to the Levites. In other words, the other tribes, they had received their inheritance. The land had been divided out, and each of the tribes had received their inheritance, except the Levites. We've just read that. So how were the Levites to be maintained? Well, the other tribes were to give from their inheritance. They were to support the Levites out of their inheritance. If you like, you could say out of their own pocket. That's how they were to support the Levites. The Lord commanded that the people were to give practical support to the Levites in this. Ministers of the gospel may be likened unto those priests. If you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we can see the parallels here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, Paul says, "Do ye not know?" How often did Paul say that in his letters to the Corinthians? Evidently, they didn't know. "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live?" The word "live" there is a word that may be rendered "to be fed." Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things are fed of or by the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained, just as he did with the Levites and the priesthood, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live or be fed of the gospel. In other words, the tithes and the offerings that are given by members of a congregation, as we do in our services, those tithes and offerings are not only for the paying of bills and the maintaining of the church, but those tithes and offerings also go to support the minister of the gospel. That's how he's fed. He has no other means of income. He has no other job, as it were. And so those tithes and offerings go to pay the bills, maintain the building, and put food on the table of the minister. Obviously, the believers in the Corinthian church were not aware of this, because Paul said, "Do ye not know?" So the same principle is applied to the children of Israel and their support of the Levites who served in the priesthood. So in this chapter, it set forth the gracious provision which Jehovah made to meet the temporal needs of the Levites. Remember again, they did not receive a portion of the land, an inheritance, the same as the other tribes. The other tribes had to support the Levites out of what they had been given. Numbers 35, we see in Numbers 35, and we read there in verse 8, "And the cities," now, whenever it says cities, let us not have in our mind some great metropolis, some Toronto-like city. There's nothing like that whatsoever. It was an area, along with the suburbs, where the Levites went to live and they could build their homes and so forth, and it'll develop into a settlement. It was not a big city. "And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. In other words, as the Lord had prospered them, that's how they would give. Sometimes when we come to announce the offering or the tithes and the offerings, we give as the Lord hath prospered us. Here's the principle. Here's the teaching. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inherited. And what we have in the New Testament that Paul outlined to the Corinthians, here we see the basis for it in the Old Testament with regard to the Levites and the priesthood. They were the ones who served the Lord in the tabernacle and ministered to the congregation in holy things, just like the minister, the pastor of a church. Just as the divinely called ministers of the gospel whose lives are to be devoted to Christ and his churches are supported by those whom they serve. So when the Levites came before Joshua and Eleazar regarding what the Lord had promised, we see that they were well received. If you look at the verse 3 of the chapter 21, they've come, they've reminded Joshua and Eleazar, the priest, of the word of the Lord that came to Moses regarding the Levites and the priesthood. And we read in verse 3, and the children of Israel gave. There was no argument. There was no debate, no dispute. They made their request. They reminded Eleazar and Joshua of the word of the Lord. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance. At the commandment of the Lord, they obeyed the commandment of the Lord. That put an end to any argument that may have arisen. This was the commandment of the Lord. These cities and their suburbs. So that was all taken care of now. The tribes had received their inheritance. It had been made known to Eleazar the priest and Joshua. They had been reminded of the promise of the Lord regarding the priesthood and the Levites. And as we have just read, the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance. So everyone was taken care of. All the tribes as well as the Levites who were involved in the priesthood. Now when we go to the end of the chapter, we find that all had been taken care of and all that the Lord had promised, not only to the Levites, but to all the tribes of the children of Israel, all had come to pass. And the Lord gave Israel all the land which he sware, which he said he would give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45 is our text. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. Not one word did the Lord fail to keep. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. There's his word. Unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. All. That's the God we serve. That's the God we worship tonight. A God who always keeps his words. And we can take that to heart. And we can stand upon it and we can rest upon it. Our God always keeps his word. So there's no need for us to doubt the Lord. There's no need for us to fear that the Lord will not keep his word. What did we just read? There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. Unto the house of Israel all came to pass. So let us consider what we have before us here. We see the Israelites, first of all, the Israelites were favored by the Lord. The words of these verses at the end of chapter 21 of Joshua is all about Israel being blessed with the favor of the Lord. First of all, what do we have? We have the Lord's promise. All that Israel received was according to the word of the Lord. His promises were contained in his word. In verse 43, he swore. Verse 44, he swear. Verse 45, which the Lord had spoken. So the emphasis is upon God's word. All the Lord said, he did. All the Lord promised, he kept his promise. And these words speak of the Lord keeping his promise to Israel. We notice regarding the Lord's promise, the duration of the promise. You see, the promise was made regarding the land of Canaan many, many, many years before. In fact, when the promise was first spoken, we have to go right back to Genesis and to chapter 13. All the way back to Genesis 13, the book of beginnings. And in Genesis 13, there we read in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, the Lord said to Abram, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. That was the promise made. The promise was made in Genesis 13 that the Lord would give the land of Canaan to Abram and to his seed forever. Now we come right through to Joshua. And in Joshua 21, note is taken that the Lord kept his word. Even though the promise had stood for many, many years. The Lord didn't forget the promise. The Lord kept his promise. In Psalm 105, there we read in Psalm 105 and verse 42. For he, listen, he remembered his holy promise. He remembered his holy promise. And Abraham, his servant, he remembered the promise he made to Abraham. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen, gave them Canaan. And they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws, praise ye the Lord. But the point is this, the Lord remembered the promise. Now tell me, how long ago has it been? How many years has passed since the time the Lord gave you a promise? Whatever that promise may be, you know what it is. Maybe it involves your family. Maybe it involves some other set of circumstances. And the Lord gave you that promise many years ago. Let me tell you this, the Lord hasn't forgotten that promise that he gave you. No, sir, he hasn't forgotten the promise. He remembered the promise that he gave to Abraham. And he kept the promise after many years. So it matters not how long ago the Lord has given you that promise. He has not forgotten it. And just think of something. The Lord gave you that promise many years ago. And as you sit here tonight, and as we're gathered together as a congregation tonight, that promise is nearer tonight to being fulfilled than it has ever been before. You're nearer to seeing that promise fulfilled. Just as Stephen testified to the promise made to Abraham, Acts 7, verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, the time of the promise drew nigh, the time when the Lord would fulfill the promise, when that time drew nigh, which God made to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. And so Stephen there testifies of how that promise was given to Abraham, and then the time came when it was near to being fulfilled, when the time drew nigh. You can apply that to whatever promise the Lord has given you. You're nearer to seeing that promise realized than ever before. So you have the duration of the promise. You have the dependence of the promise. In other words, if God has given you a promise, you can depend upon God keeping that promise. We know that through life. We know through life, up until this present time, we have met people along life's journey who have made promises to us, and they never kept them. Through life, we have had to endure the lies of men. But listen to this. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Isn't that interesting? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He will. He will make it good. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? My, we have a God whom we can depend upon. He's not a man like a man of the world who can promise you the moon and the sun and the stars and never deliver. But what the Lord has promised, he will deliver. In Psalm 89, David knew all about the Lord keeping his promises. In Psalm 89, and there, in verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. I'll not change my mind. Once have I sworn by my holiness. See, he's not a man that will lie. He has sworn by his holiness that I will not lie unto David. No, he'll not lie and did not lie unto David. And praise his name, he'll not lie unto us either. That's a word there in Psalm 89. That's a word that you can take, as it were, you can take home with you. That's a word that you can hide in your heart. That's a word that you can take out and look at it whenever you doubt. Whenever you doubt if the Lord's going to fulfill his promise to you or not. That's a word that you can put in the face of the devil. When the devil comes and tells us, oh, the Lord will not keep his word to you. Well, you can throw in the face of the devil this word. I will not lie. I will not repent. I will not change my mind. I will do what I have said. I will do. 1 Kings in chapter 8. In 1 Kings 8, there we read in verse 56. Blessed. This is Solomon. He just finished praying. And there's a note of praise upon his lips. And verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. There hath not failed one word. One word. Individuals may fail in one word and will say, well, he must have forgotten. Or that's all right. He's usually quite good. But you never have to say that about the Lord. Solomon said, the Lord failed not in one word. He kept every word that he gave to Israel. And every word that he has given to us, he will keep it. You have the Lord's promise. Then you have the Lord's provision. Remember the word which the Lord gave to Abraham. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Genesis 13, verse 15. In those words that the Lord spoke to Abraham, Abraham discovered something. Abraham discovered that his God is a giving God. What did we say? What did he say to Abraham? For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give. He's a giving God. I will give it unto thy seed forever. So the Lord's provision comes from, first of all, a giving God. To thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. Look at the words of Joshua 21. Verse 43, the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give. He gave to Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Three times. We're told that the Lord gave. He's a giving God. And haven't we found the same thing? Haven't we proven that this is true of our God? He's a giving God. Regarding the Lord's giving to us, his giving to us, where do we go to? We go immediately to the cross. That's where we begin. Galatians 2, verse 20, the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. He's a giving God. So much so that the Lord gave himself for us. And in loving us and giving himself for us, he continued his giving and has continued his giving. For 1 John 5, verse 11, we read, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He gave himself for us on the cross, and the moment we trust him, he gave again. He gave us eternal life. He's a giving God. What a favored people we are that we have been brought to know one who is so giving that he gave himself for us. And now if God gave his Son and his Son gave himself for us. And in giving himself for us, we received eternal life. He gave us eternal life. What will he not give us then? Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Have you ever doubted the Lord as being a giving God? You've only to look to the cross. Read those words again. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? So because he has made his own, he's made us his own, the Lord will freely give us all things that he deems good for us and that will glorify him. All things that we may ask for. And if we ask in accordance with his will, now he's not going to give us that which is not in accordance with his will. He's not going to give us that which we ask for, that just to satisfy our own fleshly desires. No. But whatever we ask for, and it's in accordance with his will, he will give it to us freely, freely. In other words, he'll not hold back anything at all. He will give freely. Not only with regard to the Lord's provision is he a giving God, he's a generous God. God is generous in his giving. You look again at the words at the end of Joshua chapter 21. Note the number of times you find the word all. All. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land. Verse 44. The Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all the enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. In verse 45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. He's a generous God. He's generous. He's generous. He's generous with us. Isn't that what the Lord told Abraham? In that promise, way back in Genesis 13, verse 15, for all the land, there's the word again, all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. All the land. And what did the Lord give to Abraham and his seed? He gave all the land. He held nothing back, nothing. All the Lord promised, the Lord gave. Not wonderful. We read in the first chapter of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Who giveth. God doesn't skimp in his giving. God doesn't give just as it were to get by. No, the Lord opens his hands and he gives us all that is in his hands. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth. Ask of God, the one who gives, and the one who gives liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't hold anything back. And it shall be given him. The word liberally there can mean freely. It can mean unconditionally. It can mean simply. You get the idea? Who giveth to all men simply. He just gives it. Again, no argument. No holding back at all. He just gives simply and freely and unconditionally. He gives good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Isn't that tremendous? My heart would touch your heart. And what did David say in that great psalm? They're all great, of course. But Psalm 23, and verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me. An empty table? Not at all. Thou preparedest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Listen, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. That's how he gives. He's a giving God. He's a generous God. We have the Lord and his promise, the Lord and his provision. And we have the Lord in his possession. What the Lord promised to give Abraham and his seed, they actually did receive. They did receive it. They not only received it, they possessed it. Isn't that what we have in verse 43? The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. So this was no short-term thing. They possessed the land, and they dwelt in it, and they kept it. That's how generous the Lord is. It wasn't an empty promise that the Lord gave to Abraham those many years before. As the Lord said, as we read in Romans 4, verse 2, as the Lord said unto Abraham, and being fully persuaded, that is Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You meet with boys through life, and they make all kinds of promises, and you say in your heart, in the way back of your mind, well, I don't think he's going to be able to keep that promise. Well, Abraham was one who believed God and was fully, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He's able to do it. You see, no matter what the Lord promises us, or promises to do for us, he's able to perform it. Doesn't matter how difficult it may seem in our eyes. It doesn't matter how impossible it may appear in our eyes. Mark the words, he is able to perform it. He is able to carry it out. Ephesians 3, verse 20. He is able. You like those words, don't you? He's able also to perform it. And Paul says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Not our power, but the power of God. He's able also to perform it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You think of it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. There's his generosity again. Above all, he goes beyond. You will find, and I have found this myself, my years as a Christian and as my years as a minister. Whenever the Lord honors his promise, he always gives you more than what you ask for. Look around us tonight. You remember? What we have now, where did it start? It all started one Wednesday night in our prayer meeting. And I was sitting over there, and suddenly the water came through the ceiling. It was raining. And the water came pouring down the wall. Next day, I went out, got up on the roof, and discovered that one half of the roof, the shingles were just gone. And do you remember? We couldn't afford to shingle the whole roof. And so I said, if we could raise the money between ourselves to shingle that half of the roof, then we'll do the other half at a later time. There was a man and his wife in that day, visiting. And the outcome was, that man and his wife said, we'll do it for you. He said, whatever money you have raised to shingle the half of the roof, keep it and put it to something else. But we'll cover the cost of shingling the whole building. That's more than we ask for. And then later on that summer, we didn't have any air conditioning in the middle of the summer. It was nearly 90 degrees in the building. And I remember standing here apologizing for the heat in the building because I could look down and I could see sweat was pouring off people. And they told me after, oh, don't you worry about that. We're here to hear the word. But one man said to me, look, why don't you mention it? We have enough friends that we could put the air conditioning in for you. We mentioned it that evening, and I remember $1,400 came in that night. And before the summer was finished, there they are. And the money that came in for the air conditioning units, we were able also to put in new windows, double glazed windows. And there was enough left over to put down new carpet. And there was still some change left over that we could put in a new fridge downstairs. Oh, with a great God, who's able also to perform. The one who will do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think all we were thinking about was getting one half of the roof covered with new shingles. And what did we end up with? We have a great God, and greatly to be praised. Whatever the Lord promises, omnipotence is able to perform it. Whatever we ask in accordance with his will, omnipotence is able to do it. Whatever the Lord has promised to give to us, omnipotence is able to make it our possession. Praise his wonderful name. Praise the Lord's name. That's just my first point. We'll maybe look at the other part, because I wanted to consider the force. Israel and the force of the Lord. Because what do you have there? The Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Not a man, not one man. Lord gave them victory over all the Canaanites. There wasn't one man, including all the giants. That the spies, 10 of the spies, were afraid of at the beginning. Not one giant, not one man, not one obstacle. All the armies with their chariots of iron, the Lord removed them all. Was really the main part of my next point, and that is all the obstacles that stood before Israel and would have prevented them from claiming Canaan, the Lord removed every obstacle. And that means the testimony was given, there failed not aught of any good thing. Notice, good thing. The Lord will only give us good things. The Lord will only give us that which is good for us. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Our God always keeps his word. And let us ever praise him for that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and most gracious Father, once again, we're humbled by thy word. We who, Lord, are so helpless. We, Lord, who have no power of ourselves, no strength of ourselves, basically to do anything. We're glad that thou, Lord, hast made us thy children. And thou art the one who cares for us, watches over us, and will only give us good things. Only give us good things. The world would give us evil things, bad things. But thou, Lord, will only give us good things. And what thou hast promised, thou art able. For thou art omnipotent, thou art able also to perform. Lord, may thy word tonight, may it be a source of encouragement. Lord, if we're waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, have us to remember that we're nearer tonight to that promise being fulfilled than when it was first given to us. And now, Lord, did they remove every obstacle, stood in the way of Israel, and they went in and possessed the land. Praise the Lord. Lord, write thy holy word with thine own finger upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. And may we rejoice in thee, our God, as we leave this house tonight. Bless us, Lord, and may thy hand be upon us for good in all our travels tonight and the rest of this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.